the gospel, right? We've learned by now that gospel is more than the death, resurrection, right? Death, birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's beyond that, right? Jesus is the gospel, right? The birth of Jesus, right? The temptation of Jesus, the life of Jesus, right? Death, everything about Jesus is the gospel. Amen? And we've learned that even the miracles, well, you're going to learn today that even the miracles show the gospel, right? So I want you to stand with me, and I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 11. Luke chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 11 through 19. Okay? You there? All right. Verse 11, it says, "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men," say 10, "who were lepers, who stood afar off." Everybody say afar off. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." Everybody say, "as they went." "And one of them," say one of them, "when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to them, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Let us pray. God, I thank you that you are with us. You are the God that is always with us, that you promise to never leave us nor forsake us. God, in the valleys and on the mountaintop and even in between, even when we fail, even in our weaknesses, even in our strength, you are with us. Father, we pray that today as we hear your word, that you would open our eyes to see Jesus, that you would remove everything, God, that keeps us from seeing Jesus, who is so close to us. Let us go beyond the sign to Jesus. Draw us near, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. You may be seated, okay? So we're going to talk about the miracles of Jesus as the gospel, okay? All of the miracles in the book of Luke, okay, they have a point. In every miracle that God, Jesus performed, he was reversing, everybody say reversing. In and through every miracle, Jesus was reversing the pattern of thinking, okay? Religious thinking, okay? He was reversing the pattern of thinking. He was breaking the religious mindset through every miracle he performed. For example, in Old Testament, okay, there's a law, there's a paradigm that says, do not touch what is dirty. When you're clean and you touch something that is unclean, when you touch death, when you touch somebody who's bleeding, when you touch somebody, right, who has leprosy, when a clean person touches the one that is not clean, guess what? The clean gets unclean. It's called defilement by association. You are clean, but when you go near unclean and you touch the unclean makes you unclean. But here Jesus, over and over again, right? The lepers come. What does he do? He touches them. And instead of being unclean, the lepers get healed and they become clean. You know, in Old Testament, right? No, even before Old Testament, during that time, if you had leprosy, that you would go before the priest and they would examine you and they would say, unclean. And once they declare you were unclean, you had to get out of the camp. You have to get outside and you have to live outside, right? When you are when somebody is dead and your family member is dead and you have to bury them, by touching them, you become unclean. You know what you have to do after? You have to go outside of the camp, stay about a week. You have to go through this ceremony thing to become clean, and you have to show yourself to the priest, and they have to declare you clean in order for you to come back to your regular life. But Jesus, not only as he walks into the village, right, and the widow is crying because her only son died, what does Jesus do? He touches the dead. And instead of him becoming unclean, having to go outside of the camp, the dead rises and becomes alive. The lepers come, and Jesus touches them. And instead of Jesus going outside of the camp for 7 days, the lepers become clean. God is reversing, right, through the miracles of Jesus Christ. You look at the friends and the four friends and the paralytic, right? They bring their friends to Jesus. You can't get in. There's too many people. What do? They go up the ceiling, right? They open up the ceiling and they put their friends down. And the friend that could not walk, right? The friend who was sick for many years. And when Jesus looks at the paralytic, this is what he says. Your sins are forgiven. Take heart. Your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees and leaders at that time, they're like, what? He's sick. But who are you? Blasphemy. Who are you to forgive sins? And you know what Jesus says? You know what Jesus says? He's like, what do you think is easier? To declare somebody forgiven or to heal somebody? For you and I, both are impossible on our own. But you know what Jesus did? You see me healing the sick, then you should know by that miracle that I have the power to forgive sinners. Both are impossibilities, but Jesus performs miracles. This is what it says in the scripture. He looks at the Pharisees, so that you would believe that I have the authority to forgive sins, get up and walk. And he gets up and walks. Every miracle of Jesus possesses the gospel, the good news. He is doing something, revealing God that intervenes with the human history. Miracles are a sign. Everybody say a sign. There's always something deeper under the miracle that we see. Okay? A sign, okay, that Jesus can actually heal the soul. Okay? That he's able and he desires to go deeper into our lives. Benjamin talked about it this morning. When we go on a freeway, right? What is this, 101 to get here? Right? And we have to get off on what? 9th Street from 101? What is it? Work with me. Vermont? Why do I get off on 9th? Okay, whatever. In order for me to come to Verde Club, right, I have to look for a sign. I have to look for a sign. And when it says Vermont, right, it gives me get off here. Because I know when I get off Vermont, it's going to take me to Verde Club, to Sons and Daughters, right? However, miracles are signs. But so many of us, oh God, we cry out. we cry out for a miracle. And when God performs a miracle, it's like we get out of the car on the freeway, come under the sign, and we stop there, and we never make it to our destination. Miracles are signs, and those signs point to Jesus. But often, we don't go that deep. I'm sick. God, heal me. You know what's crazy? We don't even have to go to Indonesia to talk about this. Even in Emeryville, California, during Sunday services, in past 14 years, we've seen so many miracles. I remember one Sunday, it's about 10 years ago, right? At Linen Life, we were having a service, and this lady, first time visitor, right? A friend, a leader brought her. It was her friend. She brought her because she had cancer in her tongue or in her lips. And she was having a surgery on Tuesday or something like that. And she came and she ran to the altar, right, at the end of the service. And while we prayed for her, cancer disappeared. Okay? Tuesday, even though she couldn't see, she still went to her surgery. And when she went into the surgery and doctor was prepping her, they're like, there's no cancer. What happened? We've seen so many miracles. We've seen blind eyes open. Do you understand? I remember we brought back a team from Indonesia. We had a video, and we showed the video. And while we were showing the video, there was a blind lady with the whole line. Like, back there was blind lady with her friends. And on their way to church, this blind lady was complaining, "You guys have no idea what it's like to be blind. Do you know how lonely it is? Do you know how alone I feel?" She was crying, and her friends were like, oh, they were crying with her. And while we weren't even praying for her, we weren't even preaching on miracles, while she was watching the testimonial video, her eyes opened. Her eyes open in the middle of the service. And all of a sudden, she's like, "Are there children? Are they raising their hands?" They're like, "Yeah, yeah, I could see. And the whole world, they're wailing. Oh. You know what's crazy is this. So many people got miraculously healed. And if you were to ask, are they still at Living Hope? Are they loving Jesus and serving Jesus? Sadly, I would have to say no. No. What's crazy was the friend that came with the blind person, yeah, she stayed because that itself pointed, she saw Jesus, she went beyond the sign. She herself didn't even encounter that miracle. She was just a witness. She witnessed her blind friend gets healed, and she went beyond the sign. What? Your eyes open? Who healed you? Jesus? Where's Jesus? And she ran to Jesus. But the blind lady, desperate, gets healed. Thanks for healing. She went back to her life. She stopped at the miracle. She stopped at the sign. All we want is a sign. Now, I want you to open your Bibles, right? Luke chapter 17, verse 11, once again. Here it says, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Do you know why he was going to Jerusalem? Come on, take a wild guess. Why was he going to Jerusalem? To die. To be crucified. And on his way to death, you read your Bible, on his way to his death, he performed many miracles. Even though he himself was on his way to death, he made sure that people around him were on their way to life. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. it says there were 10 lepers who stood afar. And they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. They said that in Greek, the master means the one who the one who stands above, okay? The one who stands above what ails you. It means like doctor, okay? They cried out, Jesus, you stand above our sickness, our ailments. They cried out from afar. They said, Jesus, Master, Master. And what did they say? Did they say, heal me? They didn't even say, heal us. They just said, have mercy. Often, we don't even have the courage to ask specifically, right? Jesus, have mercy. Whatever you can do, right? Whatever you can do. They stood afar. Jesus! 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 They stood afar. And Benjamin talked about this. When you look at David, when he was fighting Goliath, you know, Saul's like, here, take my sword. Go, fight. If you're bold enough to fight, take my sword. But you know, David did not take the sword. Because when he looked at Goliath, he knew that he could not be close to giants. If you're going to fight a giant, you better fight from afar. But in Psalm 73:27, David also said, those who stay far from you will perish. But verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. You know what David did? When he fights giants, when he fights demons, he fights them from afar. But he draws himself close to Jesus. But often, what do? We do the opposite, right? We're down in the valley, so close to sin, so close to giant. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. This devil is beating me. He's over. Oh, we are wrestling. Jesus, we're far away. Jesus, don't you love me? Help me. But we're right close. But David knew. He knew how to fight giants. You don't fight close with giants. You don't stay close to sin. You don't go to a bar and fellowship if you come from an alcoholic family. You hear me? You hear me? You don't open your laptop at 1 a.m., if you struggle with pornography. Do you understand? You don't fight giants close. To David, he fights. He gets a sling, and he stays far away from giants, and he fights them. But with Jesus, and he says, those who stay far away from you, they will perish. He knew in order for him to live, he had to stay close to Jesus. But the lepers, they didn't have the courage to go close to Jesus. Because lepers at that time, if they see anybody, they have to cross the street and they have to scream, unclean, unclean, so that people won't come near them and touch them. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. And then if you look at what verse is that, verse 14, this is what Jesus says. Go, show yourselves to the priest. Number one, Jesus did not answer their questions. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He said, go, show yourself to the priest. Jesus called these 10 lepers into obedience without a promise. He did not say, if you go on your way, if you do this, I will heal you. Often we do that. Jesus, if you heal me, if you give me a husband, if you give me a job, if you do this, then I will serve you. We always want promise. We want something. Here, is calling these 10 lepers into obedience without even giving them a promise. Obedience is sometimes very scary. He says, go show yourselves. Go expose yourselves. My leprosy is a disease where your flesh rots from inside and out. So you want to hide. It's nasty. And Jesus is saying, go show yourselves. Expose yourself. Be transparent. You want mercy? You want healing? Don't hide, but expose. Be vulnerable. Be transparent. But I bet it was kind of confusing because the priests are the one that declared these men unclean and kicked them out of the camp. And Jesus is saying, go back to them. Jesus is asking them, take another chance of being rejected. Often, you get hurt at a church. And what does Jesus do? He sends you back to the house of God. Sometimes that takes courage, doesn't it? That takes courage. Jesus, in a sense, is calling you into obedience before he's giving you the promise. Obedience. Show yourselves to the priests. They have to show everything. Benjamin did this whole thing this morning. You have to be naked, right? Naked. Expose your weakness. Then they will be able to declare you clean. The thing is this, on their way, they were cleansed. Everybody say cleansed. And according to the Greek word, it says it's a ceremonial word that says you're clean enough, enough to pass the test. Leprosy is sickness that rots from deep within, outwardly. So the scripture, when it says they were cleansed, it didn't mean that they were completely healed, but they were clean enough to pass the test. When they exposed themselves, they were clean enough to pass the test. In that time, what happened? The nine lepers were only looking for a sign. And so on their way, hey, we're clean enough. Yeah, thanks, Jesus. Bye-bye. And they went on their way, living their own lives. But the one, everybody's the one. See, today God is calling you to be that one. That one that recognizes the power of the gospel in your life, in your body, in your situation, and instead of stopping at the sign, that you would be the one that goes beyond the sign, that you would be the one Samaritan that saw, oh my goodness, and he ran. When they were crying out, they stood afar, Jesus, have mercy on us. But when he was cleansed, all of a sudden the boldness came upon this one. He ran right close to Jesus. He didn't stay far. He came close and he bowed and at his feet and he, with a loud voice, everybody say loud voice. He glorified God. When you're desperate, help! And God comes to help. That was just a coincidence. I actually pray for my friend who needed a miracle. And she's like, I'm sorry, Sonia, I just can't believe it. I just don't have faith. She's a believer. Not only a believer, she's a pastor. She said, I'm sorry, I have no faith for her miracle. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And by tomorrow, if you're healed, would you believe that Jesus still heals? And that he's here for you? He cares? And that he still does miracles? She's like, okay. So I just prayed. Guess what? Not just next day, but that night, she was completely healed. And you know what she said? Sonny, like I told you that if I get healed, I would believe, but I can't help but think maybe that was just a coincidence. Because, you know, I did take that medicine, you know. often. We cry out, oh God, please. And when God comes down with the power of the gospel to touch your life, we just stop there. We just stop there. But today, God is asking us, think back. In what ways has God touched your life? In what ways did God intervene? I know a lot of us, we're going through a lot of difficult things right now. But it doesn't mean we didn't have mountaintop experiences in the past. But often, when we're going through something difficult, all we can see is this valley of dry bones. Woe is me, Jesus, where are you? But Jesus is saying, stop, stop. Can you think of a time where Jesus touched your life? And God is saying, will you be the one? Be the one to go beyond the sign. See, the gospel is this, that he, God, will remove everything out of your way that keeps you from running close to Jesus. The miracle, the purpose of the miracle isn't just for a miracle. Do you understand? He doesn't perform miracles so that, oh, I'm a great God. No, the purpose of every miracle of Jesus Christ is to point you to be a sign. Jesus is God. Jesus is Son of God. Jesus loves you. Jesus is here. Jesus wants to be close to you. Jesus wants to walk with you. Here, the one goes beyond the sign, goes right to Jesus. And you know what? The fruit of this gospel, of a miracle, doesn't end with healing. It ends with worship. In worship, the miracle is completed. Those examples I gave you, those people, blind eyes open, they're living with a half miracle that's not complete. The miracle is completed when you are close to Jesus. Here, look at verse 19. Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. It says, your faith has saved you. Not only did he cleanse you enough to pass the test, but he healed you to the core, to the deeper issues, the deeper woundedness, the root of your sickness. But not only that, even that is a halfway miracle. But through that sign, if it brings you to the feet of Jesus and with a loud voice, you glorify God, you praise God, you worship God, then your miracle is complete there. That's when Jesus can declare your faith has made you well. You know, one of the examples that Benjamin gave this morning was Aletheia's room. So we came back, okay? We came back from a trip. I don't remember which trip. All of a sudden, her room started to smell. I remember Aletheia came, right? Mommy, my room smells like a rotten fish. I was like, what? And so I go, and it was like, ew, right? It's been like, I don't know, 6-7 weeks, okay? It's nasty. And I'm trying, where is it? Where did the dog pee? Because my dog does it, right? They do that, right? It's like, did we? I was like, Benjamin, I told you to just, you know, don't just clean with the paper towel. You got to spray. You got to go deep. I bet when I wasn't home, I bet Benjamin just used the, right? Oh, I'm spraying Febreze. I'm just cleaning any spots. I think the dog may have peed. Nothing. No matter what we, it's nasty, nasty, right? And so, and finally, we asked Sal from Living Hope Salvador. He has a carpet cleaner. It's like, can we borrow? And it's like, we'll do something better, Pastor. We'll come over and we'll do it for you. So this was a couple of days ago, okay? Thursday, a few days ago. So they come. So before they come, so Benjamin takes all the, you know, furniture out, right? The bed, the everything out. And then he's like, oh, Sonny, I did all the heavy stuff. Now you go do the small stuff. So I'm thinking, the heavy stuff was the bed, desk, and the little thing. But the little stuff, they were everywhere, right? So I'm like, okay, sure, right? So I'm like, Alethea, I'm going to help you. It's your room. I'm like, no, right? So I make her come, right? And so we're picking everything up, and we're cleaning. And it's still nasty. Cleaning, and then where the desk was under, there was a little basket. I'm like, what is this? Ew! And I look, and there was a shellfish. See, I took her to Alameda Beach a few weeks ago. Couple months ago, there were a lot of rocks and shell fish that was full, that died, that rotted. And it was like I wanted to barf and throw up. It was that little thing, right? And when we got rid of that, her room didn't smell anymore, right? But what's crazy is this, Alethea, her room smelled. For Benjamin and I, if, when we had to go in, we're like, we stopped breathing. Take her clothes. But Alethea, after first few times, she's like, ew, it smells like rotten fish. Ah. But after like 2-3 days, she stopped complaining. Not only that, after school, like she has 1 hour of free time before she has to do her homework. She goes into her room, closes the door, and she spends her time in. She got used to her funk. Sometimes you don't know. You don't know what's in your bedroom. You don't know what's in your heart. What's in here that's been rotting. But you can't really see it. See, Alethea couldn't find it herself. Alethea couldn't, but you know what? You get used to it. We get used to sin. We get used to, But the only way that she was able to get that out of her room was she had to come to the priest of mommy and daddy. Who did not judge her by saying, what did you do? No. When she came to us, my room smells like rotten fish. I did not judge her. I did not say, get out of this house. You don't belong in this house. We did not say, do not come near us. Don't even knock on my door until you figure out what's smelling in your room. You know what we did? We know she couldn't do it. So we, mommy and daddy, not only deal with the big things that needed to come out, went through every little thing. Little thing. What's rotting in there? Let me help you. Let me rub you. Let me clean you. Where's the desugon, right? But so many of us, we become like Alethea. Oh, well. And you become a little more older. Don't let anybody come near me. Let me just far enough so that you know, I'm a Christian. I'm okay. But don't come into my car when I'm driving like Rebecca, right? Because I don't want to show you saying, certain words coming out of my mouth. love Rebecca. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You got to show yourself. You got to take the chance. Here, soda. Here. They're not afraid. We're not afraid of what's stinking in your life. Actually, if you come, we want to help you. And when God exposes that very thing and he releases his power to remove that very thing, you know what? The purpose isn't so that you smell so good. The purpose is, I'm real and I'm here. I want to walk with you. When that one Samaritan came to Jesus, Jesus said, were there not 10? But only one? And that one is a foreigner? There are two things I believe God wants to do tonight in your lives. Number one, be the one. Be the one. Oh, but I'm not strong enough. I'm not mature enough. No, don't worry about all that logistics. Just be the one. Be the one that says, God, I don't care what's in the way. You come and remove everything that stands in my way to you. If it's this sickness, got rid of it. If it's this relationship, got rid of it. Whatever it is, God, remove it. I want to be the one. I want to be the one that goes beyond the sign. You know how you could do that? Do you know how you could do that? By today, by this night, by saying, God, I give you permission. I give you permission to come. Come, remove anything that keeps me. Open the door of your heart, just like Aletheia opened her door to her room. Go ahead, I don't want to hide anything, Mommy. Daddy, it's okay. You'll see a lot of messes. You're going to see my slime. When you told me not to bring slime into my room, you're going to see that I did bring slime, and they're everywhere in the carpet. And I know I'll probably get in trouble for that slime in the carpet, but Mommy and Daddy here, come. Jesus, there's a lot of mess, and there are a lot of things that I did that I shouldn't have done, but Jesus, come, cleanse me. Do whatever you need to do so that I could run into your feet, that I could truly worship you. Be the one. Second thing that God is challenging you is this. Stop fighting giants in the valley by yourself. Stop fighting close to giants. I'm going to teach you how to fight giants from afar. You know, today at Living Hope in Emeryville, we have a sister who's a Muay Thai fighter. She just took second place a couple of weeks ago. And she said, Pastor, come pray for me. After she said, come pray for me. I believe you have a word for me. God told me that you had a word for me last night. So pray for me. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, God didn't know. Oh, okay. I don't have a word. Yeah. Well, let's pray. And as I started praying for her, I saw her in a ring, you know, fighting. And there were many demons in that ring. And she would fight one. And she would beat one up. And she thought she was done. And there's another one behind her. And she's fighting. And she thought she was done. And as she beat that one down, there's another one beside her. She kept fighting, and nonstop fighting. I say, your life until today has been, and you felt like your destiny is to fight. And every time all these demons coming against you, fighting you, you thought, this is my destiny. I'm a fighter. I'm going to fight demons. She thought it was just part of her destiny. And then all of a sudden, the vision changed. And I saw her in a room, close, very close to Jesus. And Jesus is speaking to her with intimately, with like gazing into her eyes, like liquid love coming out of his eyes and touches. And Jesus is speaking to her. And she's like, wow. And if Jesus says, Kendra, you are mighty. And she's like, wow, Jesus, I am mighty. And as she said, mighty, as she declared what Jesus spoke to her in her secret place, when she said, I am mighty, every revelation that Jesus gave her in her room, in her secret place, as she declared that, those words became sword, and it went after demons, and it took every demonic power down. And when she thought she was going to go fight demons in the ring, when she got into the ring, there were no demons, because she stayed close to Jesus. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Not if you fight all the demons in your life and overcome them. No, stay close to Jesus. You understand? And in that intimacy, you declaring what the words of Jesus is saying to you, that declaration, the word of God is a sword. In spiritual warfare, the word of God is our offensive weapon against the demonic realm. And in my vision, I saw her standing in the ring looking for demons, but there were no demons. Why? Because she fought them from afar. You fight demons when you stay close to Jesus. And it set her free. It set her free. Some of you, Jesus is saying, let me teach you. Let me teach you how to fight your giant from afar. I want you to stand in the presence of God right now. There are two things that God wants to do. God is calling you to be the one, to be the one, to look beyond the sign. Number two, God is saying, let me teach you how to fight giants from afar. Come on. Whatever, in whatever the word that God is speaking to you right now, I want you to respond to him. God, help me to be the one. God, help me to be the one. Come on. I want to be the one, God. I want to love you more than the sign. God, I want to desire you. God, I want to be the one. I want to be the one, God, that desires you, that loves you more than the signs, God, more than my success, more than my love life, more than anything else, God, more than the signs. I want to be the one, God, that loves you, that go beyond the sign. Come on, if that's your cry, I want you to respond to God right now. Father, I pray for your sons and daughters in this room, Lord. God, often we get distracted. We get distracted, God, by our needs, God, by the situations, God, by the situations in our lack, Lord. We get distracted. We get distracted. And when we see a sign, God, we get distracted by those signs, and we no longer come near you. Father, right now, break every lie off of your sons and daughters, that you would empower your sons and daughters, God, to be the one that goes beyond the sign, that desires, that pursues after your heart, beyond the sign. That if they don't experience the sign, does not mean that you don't care. But even beyond the sign, that these would be the lovers, the worshipers of Christ. And Father, I pray, there's so many that have been struggling with their own giants, so close, right up to face, hand battle with the giants. But you're here to say, you don't have to fight like that. You don't have to fight like that. God is calling you to stay far, afar, fight your giants from afar by coming close to Jesus.